Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to be talking today to begin the program about women in business. Would you like to start a business? We'll be talking about that today with our guest, Stacia Pierce. She's a life coach, author, and speaker. She's published 21 books, and her website features a business blog for women. So, on the one hand, what may be holding you back? Or maybe you've built a successful business. What helped you along the way? I hope you'll join in the conversation. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Or you can also post a question or comment on our Facebook page. Stacia Pierce with us by phone. Stacia, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, yes. It's exciting to be on today.
Well, you know what? I have a female friend, who would like to start her, and this is something I'm sure you've heard many times. She'd like to start her own business. She has a dream business. But she has also a good job she likes, and it pays pretty well. And this, and the dream job probably wouldn't pay as much.
And it's right.
And it's holding her back. Do you hear that often?
Yeah. Oh my goodness, that is like the number one thing that holds people back is because they're scared to leave that job. But, you know, you don't have to leave the job right away. I always tell people to keep their job. It's better to keep your job for even a year after you start your business and to just start it, what we call a side hustle. You know, do it on the side and get things going. And a lot of times you need that job to fund your business startup just to get essentials to get going. And so that is the number one thing I think that keeps women from just jumping out there and starting their own business is because they feel like, hey, I have this great job, I have some security, and there's no security on the other side of this. But you can do both.
Well, you are, I think, a perfect example of a successful business person. Tell us how you started your business.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I started really from doing workshops and conferences. And so it's been, I'm going to age myself, but it's been over 20 years ago. And I was amassing these huge crowds of women. And so finally, after one weekend, I had this three-day conference. It was, you know, over like 5,000 women showed up. And afterwards, I got all of this mail. This is the day before email was really popular. Back then, it was people would actually mail you letters. So I'm opening all these letters after the conference, and everyone's like, this was really good this weekend, but we want more of you. What do we do next? You know, how do I start my business? Well, how do I get going? Can you coach me? And they actually said those words. And so I went away on a weekend retreat, and I said, you know what? It's time for me to really go into the coaching business. And so that's what led me into the coaching business. Now, before that, I had many businesses, like, you know, makeup business, stores in the mall and that kind of thing, but I hadn't really ventured out and had like a coaching business or a business helping other people in a more intimate way. So that's what launched me into that.
You know, to talk a bit more about that term life coach, we hear a lot about that these days, but I'm not sure everybody really understands what it's all about. Maybe you could talk about what is a life coach and what, you know, things that you do, for example.
Well, some of the things that I do is I really help entrepreneurs more than anything, or people transitioning, like we just talked about, from their job to following their passion and doing something entrepreneurial. So that's my main focus. I kind of narrowed it in. And I'm doing this day and night. I also provide materials for people who maybe can't jump right into a coaching program with me, but they need some things to just get them going, or things to keep them motivated. So I provide them with a lot of books and products and just side things to keep them focused and keep them clear of what they should be doing and how to do it. And so that's what I spend my whole life now, just dedicated to helping mainly women. But it's so funny, I have about 20% men that I coach now.
Yeah.
Cars, grab my pink bags and everything.
Well, I tell you what, I looked at the, you know, I've been on your site and looked through it, and I thought to myself, well, heck, this will work for men too.
Yeah, Oh, yeah, it does. It'll work.
Jenny in Delavan has something for us. Jenny, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to call in to tell you about my success story. I started with nothing. I'm a dog groomer. I went to Dog Grooming Academy, and I've always worked for people. And I wanted to start a mobile dog grooming business. So I worked with the Women's Business Initiative, or Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative. And they helped me write up a business plan. They gave me a loan, and I have a really great mobile grooming business. I'm super booked up after a couple of years. I can't even take new clients.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So I wouldn't have been able to do it without them.
So the Women's Business the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative, it's a mouthful, essentially gave you a lot of coaching.
They did. They made sure I started my business correctly and that I knew what I was doing and that all of my, every step was covered, every base was covered, and I started with a lot of confidence. I was able to put down, a big loan for a beautiful mobile grooming truck that I use, and it's great.
Yeah. Stacey?
I just think it's awesome because she had help, and that's usually what people need when you're starting out and you have no idea what you're doing or direction you're going in. They were actually a form of coaching. That's exactly what they did. They coached her through and directed her as to what to do. So that helped her to get out there and succeed really fast. And you just speed up your success ratio when you get some help and some accountability. So I'm sure they had some kind of accountability that you had to, just keep them abreast of what you were doing for them helping you. And that makes a big difference in your startup. So that's why you have so much success so quick.
Yeah. Absolutely. Very true.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jenny.
No problem.
Yeah, appreciate your call. Peggy in Random Lake, let's go to you. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call.
Certainly. Kind of an interesting situation. I am in my late 50s, have worked my entire life since I was 16, have worked in the travel industry for over 30 years, and have recently, due to some medical issues, found myself visually disabled. So currently out from the job, hoping that I can get back, that some of my eyesight will return. But at this point, doesn't look like it's going to. Don't want to be a burden to anybody, but have no idea what path or who to contact or who to talk to about staying in the workforce. I'm a pretty intelligent person, have both limbs, both legs, can do all kinds of things, but just not sure where to head.
Yeah. So
that's awesome. I would say I would take my years of experience from the travel industry, and this is a perfect time to be able to do something since you said you were disabled and you're in good health, but you just can't get around as mobile as you used to be. Man, I would start a website. I'm telling you, it's easy to get a website going right now, and there's so many. I don't want to just name a whole bunch, but there's a lot of places you could go and just get a great website up. For some places, we'll do it under $50. And I'm telling you, I would take all my travel experience and I would just help and coach people through their travel arrangements. You can help people set their itineraries. I'm sure you know a lot about different destinations, how to book hotels and that kind of thing, and just start doing that right from home. And let it just grow into something bigger. So that's where I would kind of start. And then if you want to go back into the workforce at the same time, then see what companies will let you offer your expertise from your home or from your computer, that you can just work from wherever, mobile, and be able to help them by way of the network, of the computer network. So that's what I would do. But I think you have tons of experience. You have, I'm sure, from working in that industry for over the last, several years.
Right.
And with and even with sight problems and not being able to see the computers the way they are now, you can get
absolutely
oral.
Yeah, you can. You absolutely. They have so many different programs set up where you can
work on the computer, and you know, they have so many things they can do where you don't have to necessarily see it as well.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Peggy. Appreciate your call. Well, let's go to Elizabeth in Milwaukee. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm in an industry that is somewhat unregulated. I'm a photographer, family photography, portraiture, things like that. Pricing is somewhat unregulated. And there's a little bit of a standard. But what I'm finding is that there are a lot of people out there doing what I do, similar kind of work, somewhat similar pricing structure, but there are a lot of people I'm finding that do a lot more for a lot less. And I feel that it's sort of undercutting, and it's hurting the industry, and it's hurting, you know, small entrepreneurs and business owners like myself. So I guess my question is, number one, what do I do about that? Number two, how do I set myself apart? And number three, how do I, you know, I sort of believe what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And so when I talk to other women photographers, artists, things like that, you know, I really try to, you know, not be sneaky or, you know, withhold information about my pricing or how I do things, you know, because I think the more information, the better, and we can all learn from each other. But, you know, there are people out there who, you know, who do a lot more for a lot less, and then that's sort of then becomes the expectation. And it's really not, you know, if I talk to other professionals in other cities. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense. That's a very good question, and I've run into that a lot. What I would do is when you're in an industry and it kind of, what happens is it gets kind of bombarded, you know, like everybody jumps into the industry and you have real professionals and you have people that just get a camera and they're kind of taking pictures and they're just saying, hey, just give me whatever and I'll take the money and get your pictures done. That's kind of what happens there. So their prices usually are a lot lower. So how you distinguish yourself is that, one, you just want to set yourself aside as an expert, and that would show more if you have a website, more testimonies and proof points of your work. And I wouldn't necessarily budge on my prices. I would, of course, you know, in certain areas, there's a certain standard of what you expect. Like in New York, photographers usually get a lot more than what they might would get in Wisconsin.
Of course.
But still, nonetheless, I would say, hey, I cost a little bit more because I'm a real expert. This is a real craft for me. And your pictures are going to have, you know, your proofs with them. They're going to have certain things. So just let them know what you bring to the table that's different from just an average photographer. And then I would also do some package pricing. I don't know if you do that already, but just like sell packages and let them know that, you know, I have a wedding package or I have maybe a birthday party package and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then add a few extra things that don't cost you a lot, like maybe have some props for them that they wouldn't have, maybe bring your own backdrop to the event, or throw in a few things that the average photographer or somebody just put getting a camera and taking pictures wouldn't bring because they're not really into the craft like that, so that they're like, okay, this is a little bit different. This is what I haven't thought of. And then maybe you can also do, I worked with a photographer that I coached that was running into this a little while ago, and I had him do two things. It was a guy. I had him do one thing. I had him niche down this market, and so he started doing photography, food photography, which he had never done before. But when he went into that industry, he found out they paid a lot more, and he didn't have to adjust his prices, so he kind of niched down his market. Then the second thing he did was, he would, when they would book him, he would tell them, hey, I cost a little bit more, but I prep you for the day. And so he would send them a prep sheet of what to do and resources that they could have before they had their photography session. And people were willing to pay for that because they didn't know where to get makeup artists. They didn't know, you know, how they should prep. They didn't know how long it was going to take to bring extra clothes or comfortable shoes or whatever. And so those little things that he just, you know, put together made people say, okay, I feel like you're worth this extra price. And his prices are like $100 or $200 more than most people. Maybe sometimes his packages are like $500 more than most people, but people are willing to pay it because they feel like you have this really professional package that I get with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's all great. What about the people, and I know I can be more concerned with myself, but, you know, what about the people that are running around charging, like, you know, significantly less? I mean, I just feel like it's such a...
I just wouldn't worry about it. That's something that we do as women. We really worry about what other people are kind of doing and what they think, and I just wouldn't worry about it. I would just set myself apart, and I would let them do what they do, and I would just... And I believe that when you do that, people are going to just come to you. You have your own niche market, and you'll set your standard, and you'll have a group of people that will want just a higher level of photography. And I would let them do what they do. I wouldn't worry about it because you can't really do anything about it, you know?
Yeah.
You can't adjust their prices, and you don't want to try to meet with them and tell them they should do something different. You know, it's not worth it. I would just do my thing and keep moving forward.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your call. Stacia Pierce, our guest today, she has published 21 books, including the Go Big Coaching Program. Her website features business blog for women. We're talking about women and chasing their business dreams. I'm Larry Mueller. Louisa DeVogel, our on-air producer today here on the Ideas Network. Right now, talking about women and chasing their business dreams with Stacia Pierce, a life coach and author, and wonderful to have her with us. She's already had some great suggestions and comments for those women who have called in. I hope you'll join in, too, with your questions or comments or maybe your experience to share. The number to call, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Where do you start with someone when someone comes to you with the hope of starting a business, Stacia?
Well, the first thing I do is I tell them to write it down. I'm a firm believer in just writing out a plan and getting things on paper. And so when people say, hey, you know, I have this idea, I tell them, get all these ideas out your head, put them down, write them down on a safe place, in a journal someplace, but just write down what it is that you want to do and what you're feeling the direction you should go in. And I also tell them to write down who they feel like their ideal client is. If you have this business, you have this idea, who's going to buy it? Who do you think is on the other side of this idea? What do you picture them as looking like? You know, what do they do with their day? What's this person who you're selling this product to all about? And so that helps people to kind of get clarity of their vision and the direction they really want to go in. That's the first thing I get them to do.
Yeah. And you're a big proponent of journaling, and you feel that's pretty important in succeeding.
Oh, my God. I feel like it's everything. It's the number one thing I use with all of my clients. And I've been journaling since I was 13 years old. So I feel like it's helped me navigate through the tough times and the successful times in my life. And so, yeah, I just think that what's written is real. When you write things down, it crystallizes for you. It becomes more real. And it just gives you a plan of action. And you kind of brain dump. You get all these ideas and things going in your head. And you get them on paper, and when you can look back at it on paper, you kind of get some concrete evidence of what you want to do next with these ideas.
You know, and I was looking through your journal. You have a journaling book that you can provide to people or sell to people, and it's different from, I think, the way most people journal.
Absolutely.
Talk about that a little bit.
It's really different. It's guided. And so I know that the biggest problem I run into is I would coach someone. I'd say, hey, go get a journal and write these things down. And they say, repeat that to me. And, you know, they would call me back like 20 times about just the instructions before they could even start journaling. I was like, hey, we're not getting anywhere. We're still on the instructions of getting this journal practice done. So I had an aha moment. And I was like, okay, this really works for people once they get it. But let me just create a guided journal. So the journal has these prompts in it. And the first thing they do is we get them to write 101 goals. And at first people think, oh, I can't think of 101 goals. But after I show them how to do it, they're like, oh, my goodness, I got 150 goals. What do I do with this? And so it helps them to have guided questions. and that they fill in the blank. And then the journal is made for to be used like a month at a time. So it has five sections in it. So if there's a month, it's 4 or 5 weeks. And the questions you ask yourself every week, you ask the questions over. And then the big part of the journal that is really missing to me in most journals is that it has a vision page. And I know I've been keeping vision boards. I know you probably have too, you know, since I was a teenager. But something happened when I started taking my vision and breaking it down to like a weekly basis. And I would just get pictures of what do I want this month to look like? What do I want next week to look like? What do I want this goal I'm working on right now to look like? What does that look like to me? And I just get some pictures off a line or, you know, out of a magazine and paste it in that journal. Now this journal is becoming a living book that I can look at all the time. I'm carrying it with me everywhere, and I'm seeing these pictures come to life. And I tell you, that made a huge difference in manifesting what I was writing down. And then I see my clients have the same results. And so I was like, okay, we got to hit here. This is really what it takes. You have to see it, visualize it, meditate on it, and it has to be closer to you. You can't, like, make these boards and tuck them away in January and don't look at them again until the next year.
And, you know, you gave us one good example, I thought, of the photographer that you coached. Maybe some other examples of how people you worked with overcame fears to be successful.
Oh, absolutely. I have I love telling the story of one of my clients who had retired. She's 65 years old, and she was working as a construction worker, and she used to lay concrete on the highway. And she had did this her whole life since her teens. And she retired, and she was like, I need to do something that I really love. I've been wanting to do this since I was a young girl working with my grandma in the kitchen. She was like, I want to bake cupcakes. And so she's like, how am I going to go from concrete to cupcakes? And so I told her, I said, here, that's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you this journal. I want you to write down here a plan from going from laying concrete to baking cupcakes. I was like, I want you to start seeing yourself in the kitchen. What does it look like? Who are you baking for? What do your cupcakes look like? And that kind of thing. So that's where we started. And my goodness, it took her maybe a year to kind of just get out of fear and get on her feet and get going, got a website up. But now this retired lady, I call her young lady, but I'm telling you, she has worked with some of the top stores, with Betsy Johnson, with Louis Vuitton, the Gucci store. She does all these designer cupcakes, and she's done weddings, and she's worked with a lot of dignitaries and political figures. And I'm telling you, it's just amazing. Now she has a cupcake truck, and now she's going into ice cream that she's going to be creating and shipping across the country. And so I just think that's an amazing story, starting at 65, you know, and it's been like 4 years now, and her business is thriving. And a lot of times people feel like, women especially, they have a fear of, I'm too old, it's too late, what can I do? I've been doing this my whole life. But that journal gave her the jump to just say, I can do it, give her the confidence to get out there, and gave her a vision to start moving forward. And, of course, we coached her through some other things as well.
Well, we have more callers. By the way, you can join in, too, if you have a question, comment, or experience to share. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Trish in Oconomowoc will give you a chance now. Hi, Trish.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to let you know, this is kind of along the lines of the dog groomer story. I started a little business, 13 years ago, and as a dog breeder. And I got into the market probably at a good time, but I am so, don't mean to sound funky here, but I'm so successful at it. And I have a wait list for, the last 7 years for my puppies. And I believe totally it's a huge part being just very ethical and professional about how I do my business compared to all the people that kind of jumped on the bandwagon over the years trying to do this just to make a buck. So I get repeat customers and just wonderful comments and things like that from what I do.
So ethical business.
Very ethical. Yep. And I make that known. And I get a lot of feedback about how it is. And it's just been a wonderful experience of a business for myself. And you know, took it, got a lot of flack initially, just kind of negative things from family and friends, like I was nuts and crazy and blah, blah, blah. And now I have women working for me that are what are considered my trainers, and the puppies are taught things like beginning house training and how to be in, sleep in a crate and to sit and lay down before they go home. And, you know, I've always tried to think outside the box of things that other breeders are not doing and create them, you know, implement them into my own program.
That's awesome. Yeah, the ethical part is really important. People just love that. Today in doing business, so many people start businesses on a whim, but it's great when people start and they have just ethics and, yep, you know, values that they stick with, and people love that because that's where you get the suggestive clients, where people are like, I work with this person, they suggest you to other people. And right, like, you would love working with them because they deliver. They do what they say they're going to do. And I'm sure your business probably spread by word of mouth because of your ethics.
Yep, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just been a fantastic business ride. And I'm actually going to be selling my business to a woman that's worked for me for 5 years. And
wow,
she's going to carry on the torch. And, you know, we're going to have the same business name, and she's going to work as my partner for a year, and then I'm going to drop off as retired, and she's going to take over.
That's a great story, isn't it, Stacia?
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. I love hearing women with these victory stories in their business. It's awesome.
Let's thank you again, Trish, for calling. Let's go to Jim in Janesville next. Jim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Larry, how you doing today?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I tell you, I don't want to get too political, and I'm not going to get combative about anything, but I got to say that in this case, men face the same obstacles as women. There are the marketplace, the banks, none of that cares if you're male or female. They just care if you have a good product and good numbers. And I wanted to point that out. And one other issue I wanted to bring, I heard your guest comment that there was a woman that had done the same work for many, many years, the concrete woman. And I respect that. And I respect her fear for trying to do something different. But that's not strictly a feminine issue. It applies to men, too.
Well, I don't think you're going to get any disagreement from Stacia.
No, I agree with that. Yep, men and women face some of the same fears. Absolutely.
I don't think there's any disagreement on that. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call, Jim. Wayne in Oshkosh wanted to pass on advice to Peggy with vision impairment. She should check out the Wisconsin Council of the Blind. And I think
that's a
great piece of advice. And the Wisconsin Council of the Blind does a lot of great work with people with vision problems. And I'm glad Wayne called in with that information. Well, you can join in too at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. I'd love to hear from you. This advice, we're just thinking about our last call, this advice you give for businesses, that kind of applies to everyday life in your mind, I believe.
Absolutely. When we're giving business advice, it applies to your whole life, the strategies that you build a business is the same strategy you need for building a life. So they work for men, they work for women. I gear mine more toward women because that's what I just feel called to. I have a calling to help women. But we all face some of the same fears, men or women. And, of course, trying to get loans and that kind of thing. You have to have a good business plan no matter who you are, no matter what gender you are. So, yeah, but the advice and the strategies, they work for everyone. And that's why I said, like, I have, like, 20% men that I coach now. I have a lot of men clients and that show up to my workshops and conferences and everything. Matter of fact, my last conference, we made a big joke of it because we had a whole section up front. The first three rows were all men, and they were saying, hey, man, crowd out the ladies. We couldn't even see the ladies. And everyone made a joke of it for the whole, the whole day. We were like, there was literally like three rows of men across the whole front of the conference. And
we were broadcasting live, and we were doing this TV show with it. And at the break, the TV show said, hey, can we have some of the ladies come up front since you're life coach to women? Because this is like your life coach to men now. Oh, yeah.
Stacia Pierce, our guest today. Stacia has been a life coach for a long time, published 21 books, including the Go Big Coaching Program. And by the way, we have your website up on our Facebook page, but tell people who are listening in now how they can get in touch with you and get online and so forth with you.
Real easy is at lifecoachwiththenumber2women.com. So just remember the number two, but lifecoachwiththenumber2women.com is our website. And then, of course, we're on Facebook and Instagram at Stacia Pierce at Life Coach to Women.
Jackie in La Crosse has something for us. Hi, Jackie. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment. I am 55 and recently left my medical practice in the big clinic to start my own small practice doing just home visits for frail elderly. And my model is that patients pay a monthly membership fee and they get everything, the home visits as well as 24/7 access to my phone for that. Anyway, the model is unusual and different, and so I have to be patient about the growth of my practice. So I really appreciated what your guest said about waiting for the niche market, just sticking by your guns. And also, I've had a lot of help from the Small Business Association. I have a counselor from there and a SCORE volunteer, both of which helped me because I have never run my own business. So there was a lot to learn.
Yeah. Comments, Stacia?
I have a client that I love what you're doing. I have a client, Dr. Jason. You can see it on my website, Dr. Jason Littleton. If you go up there and look at it, he's really making a big rise to the top. And he has the same, similar kind of practice. He's a medical doctor, and now he does concierge services, and that's what he calls it, the concierge service business. And he does that. People pay a membership fee for a year, and they get house calls and private medical attention. And last year we just met. He wanted to change a little bit, and so last year we went to corporate, and I gave him a corporate model and structure to use. This might be something you might be interested in as well. And instead of just doing individual patients, now he handles corporations, but he handles them on an individual basis. So actually the corporation pays him to take like 15 of their top managers or leaders in the corporation, and he's their concierge doctor so that they don't have to take a lot of time off of work to been in hospitals, going to see doctors and that kind of thing. And he kind of helps to do preventative medicine as well because he does integrated medicine as well. So,
There's lots of new models out there.
Yeah, I
don't consider mine concierge, but a lot of people would call it like direct primary care is another model that's coming with the membership. And a lot of those practices market to businesses so patients can have high deductible insurance plans, but then use that practice for their day-to-day primary care needs. And I'm kind of focusing just on the very frail elderly, so they have Medicare.
I
opted out of Medicare, but they can't get what they need in their home through Medicare. So I think I think there's people out there that just can't get into the clinic anymore and want to be able to call their doctor on the phone.
It sounds like a nice niche, as you were talking about, Stacia.
Yeah, it is. I'm telling you, that's the way to go. When you're starting your own business, a lot of times it seems like the marketplace is crowded, but if you just sit and think about it and you find your niche in that market, then you can have great success. Yeah, because there's always, you just narrow it down to that group that you want to serve, and usually you feel some kind of, like I always say, I'm called to women, and I just think there's usually some kind of deep passion you have for a certain group of people, and that becomes your niche market.
Excellent. And Jackie, good luck to you, and thank you so much for calling. Sammy on Facebook is curious about how tax laws on business deductions are changing. That may be out of your realm of expertise, but I'll throw it in there.
Yeah, it is. I don't deal with any, that's kind of our policy. We don't deal with any tax, legal, accounting, or anything. I refer people just to find an accountant, to get a good tax lawyer and that kind of thing. But I don't give much advice on that because it's just a whole other set of litigation to get into when you're doing coaching in that direction. So we kind of stay away from it.
And your coaching, you hold several large conferences or where you make presentations as well as individual coaching, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. Yeah. We do a tour that we're on right now. Yep. And we do five or six different states. We do the states where we get the most calls and attention from. So we do New York, LA, Orlando, Miami, Atlanta, and Chicago. And so those are the places we go to with our tour this year. We used to just call the Success Tour. This year we're calling it Prosperity Tour. And we do it based upon what we feel our clients are asking us about or what they're writing and say to us or what they email us about. So we got tons of emails of people saying that I'm tired of barely getting by and I want my business to prosper. We like actually had that line said to us over 100 times. So we knew that I had the answer to it, so we said, let's do the tour and give them the answer.
And Chicago is our closest, would be the closest destination for Wisconsin folks anyway.
Yeah, that would be close. That's going to happen near June, yep.
If you had just one piece of advice to a listener who wants to pursue their dream, what would it be?
I would say to write down what you feel your dream is, and once you write it down, the next step is to get some kind of help, to find someone that helps you to be accountable, a mentor, someone that can help guide you through it, someone who you can just brainstorm with or at least tell your dreams to when they're really concerned about them and they'll help you further your dreams. So those are big things in starting out. When you have a passion to do something new, you have to keep that momentum going, and it's great when you have somebody that believes in what you're doing. And so first believe in yourself, so write it down so you can get concrete in what you want to do, because you're going to have to explain and tell somebody. you got to market it, you got to tell your clients what you're doing, you got to tell people what you're doing, so you got to be able to understand it clearly yourself. If you need funding, you got to tell a bank. So I always say, get clear on what it is you're doing so you can explain it to other people. And then just get some good help. Get somebody to really be able to just stir those dreams up with. Because just having somebody to talk about, a passion partner, a mentor. A lot of people said that they went to like their business bureaus in their city or chamber of commerce. Everyone I heard said they use some kind of resource to kind of further their dream. And so I think that's really important.
Well, Stacia, it's been a great pleasure talking with you today. I hope we have a chance to visit again. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. It's been great. I love the call-in.
Well, I tell you what, Stacia Pierce, our guest today, her website, make sure I got this right, it's lifecoach2women.com. Thank you, Stacia.
Yep.
Stacia Pierce, our guest today. It was fun talking with her. She's got lots of energy and enthusiasm, doesn't she? And I guess that's kind of what you need when you're getting going in your own business and maintaining that business. We're going to turn our attention to another issue. About one in every five adults will experience a mental illness every year. But for many, the subject of mental health can be difficult to talk about with friends and family and coworkers. And we'll talk about that next with our guest, Dr. Tally Moses, on the Ideas Network.